Beautiful. Just wanted to remind us all, because a lot of the time people are wondering, what am I supposed to be doing on this training? There's all these different things that we, you know, advise you to do, and all these different videos and all this stuff. And, you know, we've really condensed it down from, you know, millions and millions of things down to just a few essentials. But even then, there's quite a few things. So sometimes people are a little bit overwhelmed, a little bit confused. So if there's any confusion whatsoever, I just wanted to clarify the essence of this training, just to remind us of what is going on here. Because, you know, this is a 6-month training. Everyone's at different places on the training at different levels. But just to simplify, I just remind you that all you're really doing is getting up early in the morning. Get up early. We recommend everyone gets up earlier than they used to, early as you possibly can. I wouldn't recommend getting up any earlier than 2 o'clock in the morning. That would be a bit much. But as early as you can, doing the practices that we recommend, for example, the meditations or the breathing. If you've got to the place on the training where you're working out, you know, your lists and the most essential things for you to do, then you'd be doing that in the morning, just coming up with a very, very solid plan for the day that you really feel good about, and visualizing your success. And then during the day, stopping and tuning in, taking a few breaths, connecting back to your vision. What is the purpose of your life? What are you manifesting? Where are you going? Just tuning into that vision board that you will have created. And really doing that again and again and again. And then in the evening, doing the meditation again, tuning into the vision, and going to sleep with that vision in your mind of where you want to be. And gradually we are, you know, we mentioned things about exercise and dietary changes, nutritional things. But this is really all you're doing. It's morning program, at least an hour, if not longer. The vision board, meditations, working out what you want to do. During the day, just breathing, connecting in with the vision, connecting in with that manifestation power, being obsessed with that main thing that you're manifesting. And then in the evening, just going back into the yin mode and connecting back with your vision. And that really is all you're doing for the next 6 months, and then gradually learning other things. So if you're ever confused, just come back to that. And every week, we're giving you a few more things to do, just to refine your life, charge up your power, and increase your manifestation capacity so that you start manifesting miracles very, very easily. So this is it. So I just really felt necessary to remind this, and I'm probably going to say the same thing on all these calls, because it's very, 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 very simple, but the power is in the practice. Taylor, do you want to say anything about that?
Yes, I think that's critical information to really bring to the forefront, because life in and of itself right now can be overwhelming. And so really the goal is not to give you more, but to be able to have you be empowered, like I believe the first caller was there sharing about, in the face of everything that's going on, to be able to be calm, to be able to really have that space of power and clarity, to be able to make the best choices and the best, be in the highest space of enjoying life to the fullest. And that's in and of itself really the optimum goal of the superhero. And it seems, so we've discovered, when you are in that place, and that is your priority, then things do seem to manifest with a great ease and unbelievable synchronicity. So it is easy to see all the the incoming emails is, oh dear, I need to do this, or I don't want to get behind. But really, it's all there for you, for your pleasure, whenever you're ready to receive it. And those basic fundamentals of viewing your day like a, almost like a container, just a, in and of itself. One day is a container of limitless possibilities and potential that you begin a particular way and you end a particular way and have it just be, you know, one of the reasons I love spending any amount of time with David Wolf is he wakes up into creating that this is going to be the best day ever. And he is that all day long. And that's just, it's so inspiring. And I've been in some situations with him where one could have easily interpreted that this was not the best day ever. And, you know, one that comes to mind was we were in the bottom of the Grand Canyon looking for the headwaters of a spring. We had no water. And the whole point was to go get it. And after, I think, maybe 12 miles, the leader decided we were heading, maybe we were going the wrong way. and there was no water at that route. But in fact, there was absolutely no shift at all in David's, like, okay, well, we're just still going to have this be the best day ever. Instead of finding water, I believe we found really ancient reishi mushrooms or something, and I think even wild goji berries. But the point is just being around someone who's really creating each day as the best day ever is just a complete inspiration, and that really is what we all have the opportunity to do just by what Michael was just saying, is to just bring, if nothing else, our conscious awareness to how we begin and end the day and see the day as a whole complete cycle in and of itself is really a life-altering opportunity.
Bravo. Bravissimo. So I just wanted to chime in with something about what's happening as we practice. There is why it's all in the practice. Practice, 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 and the practice is very, 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 very simple, and it's going to get more and more simple as you go along. And this thing about, you know, no matter what the circumstances are going to always fluctuate around us. It's going to be spring water sometimes, and sometimes there isn't. People are going to take us and lead us in the right direction sometimes, and in the wrong direction others. Good things are going to happen, bad things are going to happen that we can judge. The ego can judge that in the drama of life. But we need to be constant in this, and that's only born out of practicing. And the reason why it boils down to absolute simplicity through the breath, that awareness, and the reason why we get up early in the morning and do the visioning last thing at night is because we want to deeply, deeply, deeply change all the little recordings in our subconscious and unconscious mind, all the little vibrations that are literally configure our DNA. They absolutely literally, the DNA is otherwise known as the biological internet. It's the way we plug into the reality that we perceive as reality and the way we experience it. And through this very, very simple practice, over and over and over and over and over and over, of this very specific attitude, ho'oponopono, and this very specific awareness of who I am, what I'm connected to, what life truly is, and living in this state of wonder, being amazed at the possibilities, then breath by breath, thought by thought, hour by hour, day by day, we change and we literally transform into something else, something that we were not. And as we do that, we become like a living antenna for the highest possibility and the most wondrous possibilities. And that's very, 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 very exciting. And we just happen to be training for this, these experiences, doing all this, the
superhero training and all these sort of practices and homework assignments. We just happen to be doing that in the most excruciatingly intense times, perhaps, in the whole of human history. And it's a very, very, very interesting scenario where the pressure that we're under, just like diamonds, deep, deep, deep under the ground, are born out of extreme pressure. So are we experiencing that pressure. And I don't know about you guys, but just lately, I've just been feeling tremendous forces at work in my world. And not to mention the mountain, seemingly impossible mountain of workload and tasks that I have to accomplish on a daily basis, relentlessly. And just really, 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 really enjoying how I'm shining within, and the strength and the qualities and of being that are I'm witnessing expressing in this amazing situation. So practice, 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 practice. These people that share on these calls, the ones that, like Yolanda and Richard, the ones that are getting the results, are the reason why their lives are changing is because they're practicing. So keep on keeping on. It's so easy when we practice. So simple and easy. But if we don't practice, what should be easy becomes difficult. And then it becomes impossible. And that's when things start to, you know, we don't enjoy those. We want to make it easy, get life with us. And to do that, we just need to sync up, be in harmony, attitude and awareness, ho'oponopono, and your mind blown, the wondrous opportunity of all these infinite possibilities, while you're focused absolutely on doing what you're doing to the best of your ability, living with courage, and really stepping up. And we appreciate you so much for doing that. Not just our little superhero training social network, but the whole world, because it's written in all the prophecies of indigenous cultures and native peoples. It's communicated throughout the whole of our history in all kinds of mythology and stories and tales, that there are few individuals who at a certain time become so powerful that they actually have the power to change everything. And that's what you're part of. That's what we're part of. So these are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful times. Enjoy the wild fluctuations and all the pressure. And, yeah, just celebrate your victory and practice, practice, practice.
Yay. You're one of very few people. Most people are not interested in changing, not able to change, don't even know what it even means to change. So if you're on this call, if you're on this training, you're a very, very rare breed of being. So recognize yourself, O soul. Recognize yourself. We're going to open this up to Dean. Dean, I'm going to unmute you, and you can just share whatever you're inspired to. Hello there.
Aloha.
Hey, brother. How's it going?
It's going good. It's going better, to say the
good.
Least.
Yay.
We had a question.
Sure.
I'm fairly early on in the superhero training.
Okay.
And I've been receiving the videos, and they're all very, very helpful. I've been using them as and when I can, and I find that they have really been taking the stress out of my life and just giving me the power. But I've been doing this probably for about a year and a half,
mm-hmm.
and I'm finding that I've been in the no man's land area, as you would call it, whereby I'm not really ascending, and I guess you'd probably understand what I mean, whereby it is very, very frustrating and confusing at times, and I'm keeping myself positive as best I can. I was wondering if you had any advice as to getting out of the no man's land and into the ascension.
Yeah, I like to say a couple of things, and I'm sure Taylor and Mike have got some stuff to say as well. So, basically, if you're practicing what we're giving you to do, you are ascending. Now, your interpretation of that and how, glorious and glamorous that may or may not be, that's another thing altogether. There's cycles and rhythms in life where you don't appear to be making any progress whatsoever, and then suddenly you make a quantum leap. You understand what I'm saying here?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'd say that if you have the impression that you're not making any progress, and I want you to expand on this a little bit in terms of, you know, what exactly you mean, if your behavior is dysfunctional or, you're in some, stuck in some situation that's, sabotaging, I'd like to get some details. But if you're doing the practice, then you are doing the inner work. It's like cleansing and detoxification. When you first start detoxing and cleaning the shit out of your guts, all there is a lot of shit and not much else. And you don't necessarily look any better. In fact, you start to look a lot worse than you do. It's a simple fact of life. And that's why a lot of people will get off raw food programs and cleansing programs and detox programs because weeks, months, even years down the line, they're still not looking or feeling that good. Now, that doesn't happen for everybody, but these are just simple facts of life. So if you're doing the practice that we're recommending, you're on this course, so you have integrity, you've set an intention, you're having a go in a way that most people in the world are absolutely not doing. We're all ascending because we're all in something that is changing, whether we like it or not. The style in which this unfolds is absolutely up to us. It's up to you how you ride this through. Now, sometimes I can definitely say this from my own personal experiences. It appears like I've been stuck for years, and definitely in situations and circumstances that I would have rather have not been in. And those are those when I look back on those times in my life, they're the parts of my life where, I really had to tough it out. And it's like nitty gritty stuff, you know. We don't understand fully the karmic consequences of our previous actions, especially from past lives that are being carried out played out into this one. What we're doing with superhero training is fundamentally we are, developing skills and qualities of being that very definitely improve the quality of your life in this lifetime. But way, 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 way more significantly and importantly, we are preparing ourselves for something very, very, very wonderful and very, 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 very different that is coming our way very shortly. And we're attracting that towards us, but it's not coming until it's the right time. So you might be stuck in a situation, you feel you're stuck in a situation and not experiencing any of the, the wonderful things that you're projecting as possibilities for a very, very, very good reason. And that reason is to develop skills and to develop qualities. One of the most essential qualities of the superhero is patience. It says in the Course in Miracles, infinite patience is the only thing that gets immediate results. Infinite patience is the only thing that gets immediate results. So this whole thing might be to, for you to develop this extraordinary level of patience, which is going to serve you in a future that you are yet to experience or even be remotely aware of. But the thing is, the core of it all is, according to your faith, so shall it be. It's in the knowingness, the certainty. When you're buried underground, when the whole building's fallen on you and you've still got a little bit of air, but sooner or later you're going to get out of this situation. You need that faith, you need that certainty, you need that nisce. And all the great saints, messengers, teachers, prophets, and great livers of the way have suffered horrendously in their lives. Crucifixion, being chained in chains for decades. You know, modern day revolutionaries and great authors and writers all over the world, America, Russia, China, have been persecuted like you wouldn't believe. You know, and it's still going on now. Christians in some of these, you know, zero tolerance countries, you know, are absolutely murdered and mutilated for having a Bible, you know, stuff like that. So you're a spiritual warrior, mate. You are a superhero. You know, this is the simple fact of the choices that you've made. So you are going to be tested, and it's always going to be challenging, and it's going to be dressed up in the perfect way to bring doubt, fear, confusion, uncertainty, everything, to bring up the stuff that you need to look at and learn. And dissolve and transmute, accept and love yourself, and believe beyond all else. Just know, walk around with this rock solid certainty. Do not confuse the appearance of of the world for reality. These are two different things. That includes your physical body, the thoughts you're thinking, the way you're behaving, and the way you're feeling. It's not who you are. And so this is a reality check, and I'm really glad you asked this question. So how do you feel you're not ascending? What's the evidence you can present now?
Well, I would like to touch on what you said there about the patience. I hadn't really taken that into consideration, that I've almost believed that if I made the effort now, that it would just immediately happen. And obviously that is really silly, because I have been extremely impatient. I've almost wanted it too much for it to happen. And my own belief is pretty much getting in the way of that. And that for me has probably been my biggest obstacle is the patience. Especially given certain circumstances in my life right now, patience has been one of the things that I would have thought I would have had by now, because I've been in a situation for quite some time now. But it's really the thing that I've neglected to really work on is just accepting things for how they are, even though I want them to change so badly. But yeah, I guess I find myself getting angry certain times when things aren't going the way that I'd like them to, and I'm letting the situation obviously control me there, which is what I'm learning not to be doing. So yeah, I guess that pretty much covers the patience thing.
Just one little thing before I pass this on to Mike, because I'm sure Mike and Taylor have got some wisdom to share. There's little built-in factors. First off, everything is perfect. There's nothing wrong. You're not doing anything wrong, and there's nothing wrong with any situation in your life that you're aware of, despite no matter how dysfunctional it is, no matter what manifestations of evil are expressing, what manifestations of the ego is expressing. There's nothing wrong. Everything is perfectly constructed to provide you with the ultimate challenge that you need to initiate these qualities of being that you're yearning to experience. The anger factor and any frustration and stuckness is going to humble you. And we need to be humbled. You know, we're being crushed. The ego and all of its inventions are being absolutely crushed now. And so we're being stripped down to, and it's very, very humbling experience. And one of the primary ways we're being humbled is through our own expression, our own behavior. Now, that doesn't, not for all of us, but for some of us. And you need to have a constant attitude of the one that's perfectly personified in the emotional freedom technique that Joshua recommends is, you know, even though I'm angry, even though I'm frustrated, even though whatever it is that's up, even though I feel stuck, even though I feel I'm not ascending, even though whatever it is, blank, 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 I deeply and completely love and accept myself just the way I am. I deeply and completely love and accept myself just the way I am. I deeply and completely love and accept myself just the way I am. We can't change anything from the same level of consciousness he was created. This whole world's been created through anger and ego stuff and all of that nonsense. We can't change anything like that. We have to become, you know, you nailed it then when you said, you know, you can't accept the way things are. We have to be, there's always a paradox in the spiritual, pure hardcore spiritual teaching. It's like, you want it, you want to change it more than anything. You've got to want it. You want to change stuff in your life. You want to become a superhero, really, the real deal. You've got to want it more than anything. And you've got to be prepared to do everything to bring it about. But the third thing is, while you're wanting it and doing it with that intensity, you've got to know that it's already done. And that brings you tremendous peace and the ability to surrender.
Yes, this is absolutely essential, this last missing piece. I was sharing this with someone personally recently. And, you know, I really hope everyone is re-listening to these calls, because we're sharing a lot of, you know, hidden secrets in these calls, you know, and there's a lot of gold here. So really take the time to pay full attention to these things that we're sharing with you. The hidden secret that a lot of the law of attraction and manifestation teachers don't mention, which is kind of counterintuitive, and it's like the opposite, is that yes, you have to see the vision clearly, yes, you have to feel as if you have it, yes, you have to be obsessed with it, yes, you have to think about it a lot. But then the last thing is to surrender it, as in, and what that means is completely give it up. Completely give it up. 100,000%. Absolutely blow it out. You have no need for it to happen whatsoever. This is kind of sounds like, well, hang on a minute, that's the absolute 180 degree opposite of what we just said a minute ago. But my own experience consistently is that I want stuff, and then when I'm like, you know what, I don't care at all. If I never get this, it doesn't bother me in the slightest. I'm completely emotionally free of it. I don't need it whatsoever. I don't need this person. I don't need this thing. I don't need any of this to ever happen whatsoever in any way, shape, or form. And I'm completely fine with that never, ever, ever happening. I totally let it go. 100%. And you know what happens? Every single time I do that, the thing that I want comes to me with lightning speed, shockingly fast, and in a purified form, the pure version of it, without all the funny business connected to it, just the pure gold comes. But that happens after absolutely and totally giving it up. And if you think about, you know, how this is working practically, if you're, you know, a bit of a consciousness scientist, this is what's going on there, is that imagine, for example, you've ordered a book or like a bunch of books on Amazon, yeah, and it's in the post. So you've ordered it, you've said what you want, you've pressed the button, it's processed, and now you have a tracking number, and you're wondering, when's it going to come, when's it going to come? We order stuff all the time over here in Hawaii because you can't hardly get anything, so we're getting packages all the time of cool things. So sometimes, you know, you might be looking at the packaging, you might be looking at the numbers, wondering when it's going to arrive. When you actually get the package, the, you know, the FedEx guy comes and he drops it off and you sign for it and you open it up and there it is. And now you've got the book and now the book's been sitting on your shelf and now it's been covered by other books. By the time that's happened, you completely are not thinking, I want, I need, where is it, what's going on? You've absolutely given up any thought about any of that because you already have it. You don't even think about it. So you only think about what you want when you don't have it. When you do have it, you no longer have any of those thoughts at all. You're no longer checking your tracking numbers. You're no longer finding out where it is. You're no longer looking in the post box. You're no longer doing any of those things. You don't give it any thought at all. So this final step of just releasing it, having patience, blowing it all out, being completely free without it, is extremely important secret. Hardly anyone really mentions this in any detail. But this is the way to speed things up for yourself, ironically. You know, there's such a bizarre irony here. The more you want it, the less you get it. But the more you feel you have it and then let it go because you've already got it and you just completely, you don't need it. What that does, it raises your vibration, raises your level of consciousness, puts you in a higher space. And ultimately, what all of us want, what everyone on this training wants, what everyone in the world wants, is just feel great. Just want to feel the best ever. And so, you know, my advice to you personally, Dean, and to everyone listening to this, is just to focus on the little things that you can do to feel the best ever at any given moment, regardless of what is going on. Because that's the surest way to attract whatever you want. And that's the, basically, if you think about it, your life is a series of moments. So just choose to feel the best you can as your main priority. And really don't worry about all this stuff because it's definitely coming. If you're doing the practices we've mentioned, if you carry on watching our videos, rewatching the videos, applying the stuff we're sharing with you, it's extremely powerful.
Yeah. You can't stop it. You can't stop it, but you're going to have to pay your dues. You know, you've got to put your time in. It's like wanting to surf big waves. It takes a long-ass time of paddling, developing muscles, getting hammered, getting nearly drowned, learning the basics, falling off, getting injured, over and over and over and over and over again, and it can be extremely frustrating. But don't doubt anything, mate. Don't doubt yourself. Don't doubt life. Don't doubt this superhero training. When doubt comes, when frustration comes, take warrior action straight away and kill it immediately inside of yourself with positive, affirmative statements, with declarations of self-love, of certainty, and all that good stuff. You know, this is where the real nitty-gritty of it is. And I love these kind of things when people say, oh, this isn't working, I'm, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's awesome. This is the reality check for everyone. We want to be really, really real with this. But you need to be able to take that action immediately. Don't entertain negative thoughts. Kill them immediately. The Buddhists call it the swift and merciless blow of compassion. You know, you're getting all the tools to do this. So just keep applying them. Practice hot, hot, on, up, on all the time. If there's one thing that absolutely releases everything, it's that I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you attitude all the time towards yourself, towards everyone around you, in all circumstances at all times. Emmett Fox said it very well. If only you could love enough, you'd be the most powerful being in the world. You know, the juice is here. The juice is here. It doesn't go away. It's never gone away. There's nowhere for it to go. The juice is here. The reality around us is here to receive the juice. The magic's all here in place. There's only one thing that's blocking it. If our lives are on a wondrous testimony of grace and perfection, and that's us. And we've been doing it for a long ass time. So, you know, just stick to the basics and do them over and over and over and over and over and over and over. It's very simple and easy, but if you, honest to God, if you literally, for just three days, practice all day, every day, focusing on your breath, never letting your mind waver away from in-breath and out-breath, and said, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you, thank you, thank you, to every single person you met, everyone you thought of, yourself in the mirror, the dogs, the trees, and everything, and just kept that mantra going, your life would change in such a miraculous way, because you would let so much power through. But obviously, that's a way easier said than done. So we are repairing our disjointed, dysfunctional way of being that we've been stuck in for generations and generations and generations. We're dissolving patterns and recordings deep within us, and you've got to take your practice deep, deep, deep into deep relaxation. Just do everything we're recommending and just surrender more, trust more, let go more, and just enjoy the ride, brother. Enjoy the ride. Taylor, what do you got to say?
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, Eugene, I just wanted to ask you what exactly you meant by no man's land anyways.
It's kind of a place where I've been awakened several times. I've had visions in my sleep. I've actually even had visions in the sky where I was forced to, well, not necessarily forced, but it seemed like I was forced to a place to watch the sunset, and I had a ship sail in the sky and go into the darkness, and it was just beautiful. Like I'll hold that moment with me forever, and it really has got me motivated to want to change everything. And I just, for the longest time, haven't known how until I come across, obviously, the superhero training, and I've been using that, and it's been helping me, and I'm really feeling the benefits of it. And I just need to work on the patience, obviously.
Yeah, and I just, I mean, it's really beautiful you've had those visions, and you want more of that. And, you know, my suggestion to you is that those visions can be all around you and everything, in the most unsuspecting places, in the most average, everyday occurrences. And what we're all being asked to do, you know, I think we're at a place right now where there is no man's land left. And by that I mean we're all in it. Like Nick was saying, if you're in this program, you're ascending. If you're, even if you aren't in this program, you're ascending. And it's happening. It's happening to everyone. And you know, there will be those that are aware of it and really on with it and asking for more and completely tuned in, and then there'll be others that are just coming along for the ride in any case. But what we're all being asked to do now is to really see that beauty and that magnificence and all that vision that you spoke of that you had in everything, in your dog, in your family, in yourself, and that's really where it's at. You know that we begin to really find heaven on earth in our lives, in ourselves, in each other, and not really wait around for it to come out of the sky, and that's not to say it won't or it can't or it doesn't, but it really is a matter of shifting your perspective from one of waiting and, you know, wanting to match it up to that, what you had, to really embracing it and finding it in everything, even the ordinary, maybe mundane task or just what it is to get through your day. And this is really the spiritual practice of having your life be your spiritual practice. And I encourage you to look at it that way also, because, you know, wanting to have these aha moments or these visions and, you know, this and that and the other thing, I mean, that's wonderful, but it can all be even more wonderful in really just embracing your life exactly how it is now. You know, there's that saying, what you resist persists. And so to just be able to love and embrace what you have and not think that there's some place to get to or be where you aren't is really just a miracle in and of itself. And I really encourage you to take that perspective. And when you're having the perspective of this isn't it, or you're feeling this or that, it's really a matter of just shifting your perspective to look for the magic and wonder. Even though it may not look like any, it may be a challenge, you know, like where could it be? You'll find it. And you just do that over and over and over and over again. And boy, it starts to show up before you even have a minute to shift your perspective. You know what I'm saying? It precedes you. Is that helpful, Dean?
It sure is. I'm feeling better. I'm feeling better about today for sure already. You guys have really made my day.
Yeah, well, thank you for sharing, because, you know, like Nick said, this is really, you can speak for anyone on the call. It's really wonderful that you brought this up so we could all contribute, not only to you, but to everybody else.
Yeah, great to hear from you, bro. And, you know, just focus on enjoying your life now as it is, as best you can, you know. Ultimately, that's all it comes down to, because you're always a spiritual being and you're always having a spiritual experience constantly, and you can't get away from it ever, ever, no matter what you're doing. So just smile and just focus on, you know, what's in front of you, and know that it's just going to take care of itself. Because if you're on this training, I tell you, and you carry on doing the stuff and doing these videos, you're going to be shocked at the miracles that happen. But you don't need them to feel good, you know?
No. Just need me for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Thanks a lot for sharing. And so we're going to move on to another question now. It's from Lorelei, darling from Southern California. So she's talking about the Bible, and she wants to know what's up with it. What's up with the Bible? She said she's working her way through the Bible, and she loves the teachings of Jesus. And she's read the Essene Gospels and other texts of that nature. But she wants to know what it is about the Bible that seems to make people go a bit nutty. And she's asking, has something been left out? Has it been toyed with? She said she's been to church on some occasions and enjoyed it at first, but then it all goes pear-shaped when the talk about being saved and hell kicks in. And, you know, she wants to know what the deal is. Okay, well, here's the Nick Good take on the Bible and Orthodox Christianity. Yes, indeed, the Bible has been doctored, and it was specifically formulated at the Council of Nicaea in about the 3rd century after the crucifixion. Now, at that time, the Romans were trying to stamp out Christianity all over the place. The catalyst of Jesus' teachings and that whole movement towards compassion and love and higher consciousness and faith and all the good stuff that we incorporate into superhero training, through the path of trials and initiations. This is definitely a great spiritual warrior archetype we're talking about here, and very definitely through the path of forgiveness. all of that yummy stuff was, as it is today and has been forever, was trying to be stamped out, like little fires growing, coming up. It was being stamped out by the big, heavy jackboots of the Roman armies and the military invading force of that time. A bit like America is that kind of entity in the world right now. So the Bible was the content of the Bible, the scriptures that were included in there, the writings that were included in there, were organized and collated by the governing, controlling force. So there's definitely enough in stuff in the Bible. There's enough stuff in the Bible in one line, or in three words, or in, even in two words in some places. There's enough stuff there to absolutely get you on the right path, but it's totally mixed in with a lot of other stuff, which can be extremely confusing, and obviously, drives certain individuals to want to murder other individuals with lots of passion, because that's been going on for a long time. It's a very, 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 very powerful piece of work, but it's a mystery. It's full of code. It's an absolutely amazing mystery in the sense that the first four books, what they call the Torah in Judaism, the first four books, the books of Moses, that are the first four books of the Bible, Genesis, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers, they contain what's called the Bible code, and they switched on computer geniuses, cracked that code, Jewish guys. And basically, it's like an oracle. It's something you can put in just about any question, any name, and the code will produce the answer and the description, the history, accurate details. I did a lot of study on this years and years ago, and was amazed just to see how accurate this was. Sort of a prophetic and source of very, very accurate information. But that's the code buried in those first four books. The way those first four books were written was that there was no gaps, no punctuation whatsoever. There was no break between the words. It was just letter next to letter next to letter, and it was all done by hand. And what they called the scribes and the scholars, the ones that were responsible for writing it, if they changed anything in there, any one single word, any one single letter, then the immediate punishment was death. So this is painstakingly done, this thing, for a very, very, very specific reason. That reason is a mystery, just like everything else in life. But to cut a long story short, the Bible is a wonderful, amazing piece of information if you have the balanced wisdom and insight to study it and not take it necessarily on face value, but understand that there's a mystery in there, that it's written in code, that there are, metaphors and, of course, stories that are designed to inspire and ignite something within you. There's wonderful, amazing stuff in there. David and Goliath, the whole story of King David in there is the absolute warrior, spiritual warrior's journey, from that innocence, through facing the absolute impossible foe, and then the corruption of that through the glory of the world, becoming the king of the most significant part of civilization at the time, the one that had all the power, the king of Israel. So, there's just great stuff in it in parts. It's something that I would not advise someone to read from beginning to end, because it's very, very, very confusing. The book of Genesis itself was taken from much older scriptures, the Sumerian cuneiforms, these clay tubes that had all these like hieroglyphics and little drawings on them, and you roll it in clay, and that when it rolls out on the clay, the impressions in the clay, that tells the story through images. That was the original story of Genesis. Now, a lot of that has been edited and kept out. Just about everything that tells you that you're an eternal being and that you have a direct connection to the great spirit of life, that it's your it's the design of life for you to enjoy that forever and ever and ever, and that you are supported with immense benevolent powers everywhere you go. You know, just about all of that stuff was left out of it. But the Gospels, the teachings of Jesus, there's nothing in there where Jesus doesn't say once in any of it that he wants worshipping, that he wants praising. Zero in the book, and yet the whole Bible Bashing Brigade is worshipping and praising this idea of this God, when that actual individual was trying to turn everyone around him into being what he represented, into having that degree of purity and good-heartedness and wisdom, so that the world could be a better place, because that is what we're supposed to be doing. So be careful with that stuff. If you want to check out what's called the last 18 years that are not included in the Bible at all about Jesus' life, the very beginning of it, his birth, and a tiny little bit of his childhood is alluded to in the Bible, but then there's 18 years, just missing completely. Now, apparently that's when he went on his travels around the world to learn and share with the masters and teachers in other great cultures, such as India, Persia, Greece, Tibet, Egypt. He had tremendous initiations in Egypt. Now, all of that information can be found in what's called the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus Christ of the Piscean Age. Short title is the Aquarian Gospel, written by a guy called Levi in Hardcore Meditation, Accessing the Akashic Records. Now, you have to take everything and anything you read with a grain of salt, and just see how it resonates with you. But if you love the teachings of Jesus and you want to get more and more into that, then the Bible is probably other than the best ever place to check it out. There's definitely he boils it all down into the essence there when he boils the commandments down to love the Lord thy God with all your heart and mind and soul, and love everyone else as yourself. And that's basically the essence of his whole thing. And that's in there in that book. So good luck on it, and enjoy it. And just take it all with a grain of salt, and understand that you are being affected by the spirit and the power of the thing in there, and that it has been tweaked, it's been engineered somewhat, and so that's why it is extremely destabilizing for a lot of people. And from my perspective, having visited lots and lots and lots of churches and really wanted to get into this, the guts of Christ's teachings and walk that way, and just so inspired by that man myself, I've been shocked and amazed at how many takes there are, how many spins there are. Just about every single church you go into has got a different spin on it, and they have extreme prejudice, not just towards people that don't go to church, but don't come to that church and don't interpret the Bible in that particular unique way. So that kind of speaks for itself right there. And just finally, just to address that thing about the eternal damnation, burning in hell and all the rest of it, well, we're in eternal damnation, and we're burning in hell when we forget who we are, and when we lose connection with our power, with our divine source, with our mother, father, God, if you want to talk about it in, you know, in Jesus language. That's when we immediately enter hell. Hell is just a state of awareness, of consciousness that is dissociated from truth, from living truth, from the simple facts of life. And it is agony, it's torment, and it will last forever as long as we turn our backs and ignore the glory of our own divinity. And that's why we preach this nishchay, this certainty, which is a Sanskrit word for faith. That's the epicenter of it. And the breath, this is Jesus' teachings here, and the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Breath, the whole breath, the whole, you can switch for whole, complete. It's the unadulterated, pure life, spirit, life essence, the God presence that is always there, that just the presence that just never goes away. You can breathe that 24/7 if you are aware of it, and if you can concentrate and focus your mind with enough nishchay, with enough focused, intense certainty, no matter what's going on around you, and no matter what you're doing as well, you can breathe that. And if you have the attitude of, you know, what's been called love, compassion, charity in one of the greatest psalms ever. And what the Hawaiians have termed ho'oponopono. And you can feel what attitude that is when you say those words, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you. Thank you, 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 thank you. So it's a really, really, really important point to get here. You're like a conduit. You connect the invisible with the visible. And you need to keep the channel open and clear. That's what purification is. And you've been engineered, and so is this matrix that we're in, to dissociate you from that experience. So we're dissolving that on a very, very real level, not just psychologically, but genetically. When you orient your DNA towards divine natural awareness, then you connect with what's always there, what's always been there, will always be there. You breathe it through and you allow it to flow into the world, because this is how the circuit connects up, through your attitude, what you emanate, what you radiate, what you project out into the world, through your attitude. And there are layers and layers and layers and layers of our own personal discordance. The discordance and dysfunctional, toxic vibrations of society, this engineered society, this modern civilization that has its roots in antiquity, it's the same thing that was suppressing the people in Palestine and all around there when the Roman emperors were in their heyday. It's exactly the same power. That has conditioned and distorted our psyches. We've inherited these dysfunctional attitudes and shrunken awareness from our ancestors. It's been compounded in over generations and generations and generations. And we are expressing in a matrix that is specifically designed to keep us in that place. And that's why we need a super heroic effort to break out of it, because it's a tremendously complex, tremendously deep thing. And that's why we call this superhero training. But everything is perfect and good. Evil plays its perfect part. And it's very, 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 very real. And it's very, 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 very strong. And it is our nemesis, but it's also our best friend, because it obliges us to be stronger than it in all of its dreadfulness. And it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse before it gets a lot better, and he's gone forever. But you are going to be challenged. We're all going to be challenged with facing the manifestations of darkness that for most people are unimaginable right now. Unimaginable. Unimaginable that this could actually happen to my country, to my culture, to my family, to my societies, to my friends, to me. Well, it's happening. So the writing's on the wall, and all this good stuff, just steal as you will. And, you know, Jesus is a great, great, great embodiment, that archetype. It's a story that regardless whether he walked on this earth or not, because there's a tremendous amount of so-called evidence to say that he didn't or never did, and, you know, believe what you want, it's irrelevant, it doesn't bother to me. I'm very passionate about this subject, and I can still say that it's irrelevant whether he set foot on, or whether it's true or it's not. It still happens, and it's still real. And it's happening today. And that same spirit that is demonstrated in that story that overcame so much brutality and persecution and vilification and abject ignorance, overcame it all with such a demonstration of compassion and forgiveness, ho'oponopono, and ultimately conquered death, the whole illusion of was conquered. And so be of good cheer, because the world has been conquered, the devil's been conquered, though the victory was won a long ass time ago, but you still have to walk with that knowingness and demonstrate it yourself. Jesus said, you'll do greater things than me. And this is the call to the superheroes, to do greater things than that. And all you need is the faith, the niche, the breath, the ho'oponopono, and that awareness of what you're plugged into and how almighty and powerful it is.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Got Brother Nick going there, didn't you? Game lunch. Well, that's all we've got time for today. We can take all your questions next week. The main thing, as always, is practice the basics. Remember that you're on a beautiful journey. And honestly, as far as I'm concerned, the only real important thing is just to have the best day ever. Because if you focus on that, you're going to be stoked. So thank you, everyone. Blessings. Taylor, any last thoughts?
Yeah, I just really, really appreciate the opportunity to come together in these calls. You know, one thing I would add, while Nick certainly said most all that one could want to say on the topic, and very well put, you know, one of the beauties that I came to, because the Bible can be kind of confusing, religious, you know, we all really are longing. I've gone into so many churches and looked about, and what I see are people that are hungry to be inspired, hungry to be shown the way. And, you know, it's unfortunate because I think they leave the same way they came. You know, they feel better that, well, okay, maybe they came and did a nice little job there. But, and so, you know, what we're doing is really is making available that food that will connect you to your soul and your higher self. And you know, one of the perspectives I've found has been really powerful for me to come to in the whole Bible religious situation is to see the devil and hell and all those things is truly that what lies within us, that part of us that, you know, when we say we're going to stop smoking cigarettes says, oh, come on, you know you can just have one more cigarette. I mean, you can just have one more. And that it isn't something outside of ourselves, but it is that part of ourselves that we all are all here to really have dominion over. And really, that could be said. I know there's one great book I just would suggest and great author on the teachings of Jesus you might want to explore is Emmett Fox. One of the best books is The Sermon on the Mount, where he pretty much says that all of Jesus' teachings can be boiled down to that one book. And essentially what the book is about is having dominion over the mind, that part of us which keeps us disconnected from who we are. And that's really what this whole train is about, and what we're saying in a lot of different ways. And so, you know, it is a great book, and it is a great, just one more doorway into accessing, you know, our eternal truth and freedom. And so, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Wonderful. Yay. So, I think we're complete, aren't we, brother?
Well, I mean, we can ask a few more questions.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Ask a few more questions?
Yeah.
Who? What? Answer?
Yeah, I mean, we can.
Should we do another question?
Well, I'll answer one more question, actually. It's from Wolfgang, and he's wondering, this is, you know, of course, everything we're talking about is essential. But he's saying that you mentioned that, and he's quoting us here, you are a soul, and I've heard this word before. Please tell me what it means to you in relation to all other words you've used to describe my oneness, and specifically what it means within our superhero training. So this is actually like very important distinction. When I use the word specifically soul or spirit, I'm not referring to, I'm not referring to many things. What I am referring to, and because there's a lot of confusion around this, is that the soul is a being of peace. Soul is a being of light. I am a being of peace. You are a being of peace, a being of light, infinite peace. So when we talk about soul, we're meaning that you are a non-physical, eternal, indestructible point of infinite light that has no beginning, has no end, was never created, and has existed forever, will exist forever, and is originally and eternally peaceful, is originally and eternally blissful, loving, powerful, and pure. And so everyone here on this call, everyone listening to this, everyone in the world, they're all little shining stars, beings of peace, individual beings with their individual experiences and enjoying their experience or not enjoying it, as the case may be. But everyone is that divine light. And so when we say you are a soul, we're literally talking about this spiritual consciousness, this being that you are. And soul consciousness means that you are aware that your identity, your sense of me, your sense of self is, I am a soul, I am light, I am peace. And ultimately this is, you know, there's a beautiful quote that I heard. Once you understand that you are a soul, what else do you need? If you know who you are and you know you can never die, what else is there left, really? So we have to ask ourselves, have we understood this first basic lesson and are we practicing it? Because everything else comes after this one thing. So there's always you experiencing whatever else is going on. So when we say soul, we mean light, we mean individual light, we mean eternal, we mean point of light, divine being of peace. And hopefully that's clear and we can talk more on Shanti. And then final question, I wouldn't mind handing over to Taylor if you want to do it. Simon is asking about relationships. Are any of you in stable relationships and where both partners are on the superhero path? And Nick can also talk about this. And if so, do you have any tips for maintaining positive growth and stability? All right. So I'm currently not in a stable relationship with anyone. I was previously. I'm not sure how stable it actually was. But I was in one for quite some time, and I decided to remove myself from that situation for my own personal benefit and the other person's. But certainly this is a good question. I could definitely share a few things, but I'll hand over to who are currently in a relationship.
Taylor, my darling?
Yes. Would you like me to go first, Mr. Good?
I would, my love.
Well, of course, Nick and I love each other tremendously. So
yes, we do, don't we?
I mean, I love Nick more than words can say. And I tell him that all the time without words. And if, I would also just underscore that Michael is in a very steady relationship with his soul and higher self, and has been for some time. So I just want to say that. That's my experience of you, Michael, by the way. And yes, I am in a very stable, steady, or I don't know those words that were used there, but whatever, relationship with actually another superhero. And our relationship is a complete and utter miracle. And I would say, you know, if in terms of what has it be that way, or what's the formula for winning success, let's say. One is, that comes to mind, is this sort of being in the relationship not knowing who the other person is. And, you know, I find that is often in the case, you know, that's what that, when you first fall in love and there's all this mystery and intrigue and it's all exciting and you don't know and it's just really just romance and everything's so wonderful. And then it seems as you get to know each other and you start to identify their, what you like about them, what you don't like, it then seems to go on in that way. You know, it's been my experience in observing relationships. And what I've noticed in my relationship with Jeff, and I waited a long time before I had really come to meet someone that not only did I really, really felt was a soulmate, but was ready to spend the rest of my life with in the form of a commitment of marriage, was this real attitude or awareness that I don't know who he is, and mystery. And we've been together, actually, as of this month, 13 years plus. That's how long we've been married, and then it was 8 years before that. And
wow.
And so one would think, well, okay, I should know this guy, but each and every day I marvel that I have no idea who this human being is, and that's really, I believe, one of the biggest places of romance and love that occurs in our relationship is that. Just as really being in the wonder and mystery of who he is, and I would say he has the same relationship with me. And I think another really key element is to bring a sense of sacredness and ritual to our relationship. We're always taking the time out to sit down and create what are we doing in being related, not sort of assuming. But really stopping the action and because we're evolving so quickly, all of us, independently and as a couple, to really just stop and take the time to declare who we are for each other and independent of each other, and why are we in relationship and what are we up to. And that is also just a real primary foundation for creation and creation from nothing, rather than assuming what we know that we're doing or who we are for one another, but to continuously create it anew is also really a fundamental, and have a real deep respect and appreciation for our diversity. And we really also both empower each other to go off and do whatever it is that we love. And I would say that's another real key, is that we really are all about, you know, supporting each other in what we independently love to do and what gives our heart joy and just has us really be complete and fulfilled. And then also as how we can contribute to that, to one another and our relationships. And then lastly, I would say, these are not in any particular order or anything, this is just what comes to me, is being of service to each other and the world is probably one of the biggest places of power, I would say, in where we stand in our relationship. That we see that our being together is really, we came together to actually provide more than either of us could on our own to each other and what we're here for in the world. And that always keeps growing, leaps and bounds, like exponentially, as when we have that as our focus. And it really is completely gratifying. We aren't in that place, you don't look to one another for gratification. It just becomes a whole bigger cycle of energy exchange that's the best ever, really.
Wonderful. Well, I agree with all of that so wholeheartedly. And that's the voice of experience talking there. Taylor and Jeff, such an inspiring couple, the most inspiring couple I know and ever met. And yeah, I love you guys. So from my little perspective, I'm 50 this year and I like the single life. I do. I really like the single life. It suits me. And so I've been in quite a few relationships and I'm in one right now. And the one I'm in right now, my lover is only 22 years old. And we've been together for, I don't know, 4 or 5 months. And we actually lived together. And we started living together pretty much in the first couple of weeks of connecting. And so that age difference and, you know, living together, like, you know, almost like you. We were married, we worked together, and so for me, success in that, and we have a very successful connection, and yeah, it really nourishes both of us. For me, the main thing is really honest communication and having the courage to be seen. And to show yourself the not so pretty stuff as much as the pretty stuff, but to live a real, genuine, expression of yourself, to demonstrate it. The love is, you know, it has to keep flowing. You have to keep a really healthy love life flowing. It needs to be juicy and really, 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 really good. And that, for me, is a really important foundation. I found, in all honesty, that a really healthy love connection on every level, and definitely in the bedroom, is a really solid foundation for helping you navigate through just about anything. But from my own perspective, the woman is a real feeling creature, and you can discuss stuff and you know, get psyched about doing superhero training and spiritual unfolding and reading this and the possibilities and dreams and projects and all of this stuff. But most important thing for the woman is she needs to feel loved. She needs to feel wanted, and she needs to be moved deeply in that feeling realm. And so she needs to be engaged emotionally, sensually, sexually from time to time in a really beautiful, amazing way that can you, where there's no doubt whatsoever that what can never be communicated with words is being communicated non-verbally, and there's no doubt about it because she communicates that back in the way she responds. So that's a really, really, really important part of it for me. And then the next important part of it is bringing our energies back into ourselves so that we don't leave part of us in each other, so that we don't have these, like, relationships that I've witnessed have sort of a dysfunctional codependency thing with it, where the other person, where it absolutely depends the other person, how the other person's feeling, behaving, acting, whatever, and that's going to affect my state. So there's a high degree of energy mastery required in the dance, so that you actually feel free and unattached in a very real way. I feel that if we don't practice this, bringing the energy back into ourselves, we get these kind of invisible cords going between each other, and hooks going in, and subtle energy drains, and it can get a little dysfunctional. So I like to really bring my energy back into myself, and we do it in the kind of like a little ceremonial, ritualistic way, and practice a lot of ho'oponopono, a lot of ho'oponopono together, and yeah, just really good deep sharings, and we check in a lot, like every day, you know, deep try and get at least one deep sharing in every day or every second day, where, because so much is happening right now, so much is up in life, so much is being processed, that it's you know, we need to keep tuning in and checking in with each other so that we're not assuming anything or taking anything for granted, and we know exactly where we're at. And when we share deeply, you know, our hearts open all the more to each other when we have these, you know, these deep sharings. Another tip I give as well, this is just what really works for me, and it really works for in my relationship with my partner as well, is that we actually sleep alone. We have our own little spaces, and we can come together before sleep, and we can come together after sleep. We like to cuddle before we go to sleep, and we like to cuddle in the mornings. But during the sleeping main chunk of the night, we choose to sleep alone. And that, I find, allows a proper integration of your processes, of your very unique processes. And I feel, you know, it's not the same for everyone. People that are in, you know, stable long-term relationships that are really on the same page, that really vibe in the same way, you know, can integrate together quite merrily. But for many, 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 many individuals, this isn't the case in relationship. And so taking the time, not necessarily every night, but several nights a week, to sleep in your own space and have your own space where you can, you know, absolutely just be in your own field, is a really wonderful thing for me. It's the difference between feeling really, really good in the morning and feeling sometimes, you know, like I'm tired, I haven't got the rest properly, and just not really feeling that crash hot. And then little resentments can come in, can creep in. A subtle repulsion will creep in because my being is naturally requiring solitude to integrate the only way I can integrate, and that's alone. I can do that very, very, very effectively. But in the presence of somebody else, especially when I'm sleeping in deep sleep, it's very difficult for me to do that. And so that's another good tip I'd say. Encouraging each other to have interests and friendships outside of just the two of us. I'm not one of those kind of people that wants to do every single thing with the woman that I'm in love with, or you know, my lover. I really feel it's very, very important to have time alone, to have interests and friendships outside of the intimate dance. And there's all the more enthusiasm for coming back together when you're there. I also enjoy the fact that my girl enjoys the company of other men. She's like, we're not in like what you'd call an open relationship. That's just our agreement. I've been in open relationship before, and this particular one we're in now is not an open relationship, so we're not inviting you know, other people's energies into our intimacy. That's kind of naturally works for me best, and it does do for her. But she enjoys, she very has, you know, good friendship with other guys. She enjoys men's company more than women. And so that's definitely triggered stuff in me when I've seen the rapport that she's enjoyed with other men. But what it does is it increases my attraction to her. And I think it's a very healthy thing, especially if you've been in, if you're in a relationship where things are stagnating a little bit, the magic and the chemistry is going out. This is kind of like the hot tips for the women. I do a lot of consultancy for women. Most of my clients are women. And, you know, sometimes they'll, you know, they'll tell me about their relationship, just everything's a little stagnant, blah, blah, blah. And one of the little pieces of advice I've given to them, to various women over the years, is, you know, just let your man see you, you know, having a good time with another guy. That's going to get his attention, believe me. And yeah, it's it definitely keeps the spice going, and it prevents this kind of ownership and possession thing. I'm consistently astonished at the way people will, especially women, will just like, you know, just compromise their joint, just settle for, you know, kind of a mundane, bland kind of way of relating, when there's so much more color and variety in the dance. I think that's one of the pitfalls of monogamous relationships in our culture that isn't going on in a community setting, in a community environment. Most people, you know, live alone or just with their, you know, with their partners, and there isn't like the, we're very lucky where we are in Nomiland, because there's always a bunch of people around, so we have this sort of, you know, this diversity, this color, this mixing in of all these various energies. There's all these young studs walking around, and you know, it's good to have that mix in, and it tests you out. It tests your insecurities, your jealousness, your possessiveness, all that kind of stuff, and it brings stuff up, and it's very, very, very healthy for the relationship. So yeah, that's my little hot tips. I'm sure I could keep going on that one, but communication, love, honesty, courage, immense courage to show yourself, to be who you are, to let your partner know who you are, to take the time to do things separately, and to be super, super stoked about your superhero training and spiritual unfoldment, to share deeply, and yeah, have fun. Have lots and lots of fun. Practice hot oil, put on or be soul conscious with each other. See each other in the highest form of light that you can, and keep things juicy. Oh, yeah, lovely. So I think that just about wraps it up now. Unless you've got any final words to say, Taylor.
I agree this is a good subject that we could certainly elaborate on and certainly one that I'm sure a lot, many people could benefit from.
Yay, yeah. So maybe we'll be able to do a special on this one of these glorious days. So we're sending you so much love and blessings. I'm going to wish everyone beautiful continuation, and keep practicing with increasing focus and conviction, increasing this day, and relax and surrender and trust and let go and give thanks. Gratitude, attitude, let it all happen. It's all unfolding in its own beautiful, mysterious, powerful way. And the only real choice you have is the way you surf these waves that are coming through. The style in which you ride your destiny. You're doing great, and just keep on.
Yay, so much love to you all. Blessings, and well done for getting so far. And just, you know, keep it up. Slowly but surely, step by step, enjoy yourself. And we'll talk to you very soon. So many, many blessings, and aloha.
Please, I mean.